The British band Gang of Four gave expression to a tumultuous period in Great Britain, a time in the late 70s and early 80s when high unemployment and the unraveling of the welfare state would usher in the rise of Margaret Thatcher and her free market revolution.
It's not made for great men. It's not made for great men. It's not made for great men. It's not made for great men.
Punk rock, glam rock, they were on the way out, and political rock and roll was on the way in. Gang of Four never became a huge commercial success, but many bands today consider the group one of the most influential rock acts. More than three decades since they first burst onto the scene, Gang of Four, led by frontman John King, is back with a record that sounds as urgent and fresh as ever. And John King is in our studios in London. Welcome to the program.
Hi there.
What can I say? Welcome back. I mean, this is your first studio record in 16 years, and wow, I mean, there is no mistaking right off the bat with this first track. This is a Gang of Four album. Can you tell me what this record is about?
When Andy and I started writing the songs
this
that
is
ended
Andy
up on
Andy
the,
Gill, your guitarist.
Andy Gill, yeah. We had, a few years ago, been enticed back into playing some of the old classics, and we toured those songs for a while, and it was almost inevitable that we would start kicking around new ideas, because I'm like most musicians, I get bored quite quickly.
So you were kind of looking to kind of update your classic sound from the late 70s and early 80s.
Well, I wouldn't say update it so much. It's just that's the sound that we have develop for ourselves. And I think once you've got something which you think is yours and that you own, you're sort of naturally, I suppose, likely to go into those same territories.
John King, your music has always been lauded for its sharp social commentary, and there's some of that on this record, a lot of that on this record, and particularly in the song You'll Never Pay for the Farm.
You Never Pay for the Farm was the first track that we'd written. This is about 2 years old, this song. There had been the catastrophic collapse in the financial world caused by these gambling criminals who've made gigantic profits from other people's misery and expected us all to fund their gambling. And this is one of those songs where you've got an element of reverse engineering about it, because the line, "You'll never pay for the farm," was something I thought was interesting. And soldiers in combat since the Second World War have often used the phrase when someone got killed, "He bought the farm." And what we all struggle to do as we go along our lives is to pay for the farm. You know, it's one of those phrases, you know, that once you pay for the farm, you can then pay for your other luxuries or whatever. And, of course, the irony since the collapse of finance is that we all spend the whole time on this drudging treadmill to pay for the farm, but the only time you'll get to pay for the farm is when you bought the farm.
You can't regret what you get. You can't get back what you bet. You can't divorce from your fate. You're lying drunk and awake.
I'm speaking with John King. He's one of the founding members of the band Gang of Four. Their new record is called Content. John King, can I ask you about Gang of Four lyrics going way back?
Yep.
So many of your lyrics have been parsed over for years. I mean, there's the track Return the Gift. You sing,
"Please send me evenings and weekends."
There's a line from the song Anthrax.
"And I feel like a beetle on its back."
Go along with what? "And there's no way that for me to get up."
And on Natural's Not In It, you sang,
"The problem of a leisure. What to do for pleasure."
These lines mean different things to different people. And when you read people who write about Gang of Four, and about your music as a reaction to Thatcherism or sort of the early 80s Britain with its high unemployment and the unraveling of the unions, does that make sense to you? Do you think, yeah, that's exactly what we were trying to capture?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, the things that I was interested in, I remember when I was 15, I got incredibly excited when I found some grubby old book in a second-hand bookshop about the revolution in Paris in 1968. There was a picture which I still cherish, which is a photograph of, I think, for some kind of perfume, and a very glamorous-looking woman on this poster. And someone had written on it in French, I know I'm exploiting you, but I'm not doing it on purpose. And I got terribly excited by the fact, and using this as a situationist described, this dérive concept, where you can change the meaning of things by the label. And that predated Thatcher's arrival by a few years. And when I was at university, the things that I was very interested in was this approach. And I wondered how one could play around with some of these sorts of ideas in music. That said, there is no better time to be a musician when you have a reactionary and oppressive government who are trying to grind the faces of the poor and the underprivileged into the dirt, like we have at the moment in our country.
A lot of bands, as you know, have pointed to Gang of Four as a major influence. R.E.M., Nirvana, The Killers. And I want to play a sample of some of the bands that say that they have been inspired by your sound. Take a listen to this.
Take me out! Can you feel the dance? If I can't feel the lows,
and that last band is Block Party. We heard from Franz Ferdinand, the Future Heads, and a few other bands. Pretty amazing when you hear that. What do you think when you hear a whole bunch of modern bands sounding a lot like Gang of Four from 1979?
I think it's a great privilege to have somehow or other inspired other musicians to make great music. I think, you know, pompously comparing ourselves to Led Zeppelin, but I mean, Led Zeppelin probably feel the same, that the infinitely varied use of the drum intro to Black Dog by every hip-hop band in history must be, you know, quite fun, you know, to think that there was something there that was so vibrant and in itself that it was worth other musicians quoting. And that's a tremendous compliment.
When you play shows today, when Gang of Four play shows today, a huge part of your fan base is made up of people who weren't even born when your first record was released in 1978. What do you make of that?
It's marvellous, really. When 5 years ago I was enticed into playing again, the first show that we did was at Shepherd's Bush Empire, which sold out quite quickly. And I went down there on the London Underground with my 15-year-old daughter, who was coming along to the show, who'd never seen one of our shows, of course. And we got off our bit of the underground, and of the next two compartments of the train emptied out, and it was, I don't know, 150 kids, all in her year from her school, all going to see me play. And they were all amazed that her dad was this character. And I was very entertained by it. And I think it's because we are an oppositional band. I think people are sick of the commercial bands, the karaoke acts you see on American Idol and X Factor. And I've always had the great luxury of never being commercially successful, so we can do what we like.
That's John King. He's the frontman for the legendary band Gang of Four. Their new album is called Content. If you'd like to hear a few tracks, they're at our website, nprmusic.org. John King, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Bye.
The building can't sleep. There's a sky.
And for Saturday, that's Weekends and All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz. NPR will continue to follow the uprising in Egypt throughout the night on the air and online at npr.org. You can hear the best of this program on our new podcast, Weekends and All Things Considered. Subscribe or listen at npr.org/weekend. ATC, we post a new episode every Sunday night. We're back on the radio tomorrow. Until then, thanks for listening and have a great night.